What's up, everybody? This is The Drop. Welcome back. Just wanted to bring you a new episode this week. First, if you have not taken the Osiris audience survey yet, please do so by clicking on the link in the show notes. You can win an amazing original Osiris poster, and it also helps give us a ton of good information about how we can serve you better with amazing content. And I also want to just tell you that, you know, we're partnering with Jambase, the best place to find information about shows and tours and get news about what's going on with your favorite band. So check out jambase.com. I was looking at show listings recently, all the shows that are in your area. It's really easy to find shows and to follow bands, and it's a great resource for music fans. The other thing we're going to do this week, we're going to highlight Amigos Pod, and we're going to play you two separate things from Amigos. One is a piece of a conversation with Rob Chafin of The Works about their upcoming 10th annual Workout Fest happening August 1st through 3rd in Ohio. Second thing we're going to play is a snippet of a live event crossover between Amigos and Female Centrics from the Mohegan Sun Fish Run from a couple weeks back, with special guests including Tom Marshall, Benji Eisen, and David Steinberg. So first, let's jump into the Workout Festival. It's happening August 1st through 3rd next week. If you all are in Ohio, you're considering, you know, thinking about going, you should go. This is a sort of interesting crossover between Cash and Trade and Amigos. Cash and Trade did a Grateful giveaway. They do that a lot around a lot of shows and festivals where they give away tickets. And they gave away some tickets. HC from Cleveland is going to work out. It's a cool festival. You'll hear Mike interview Rob about it. And just another one of the things that Cash or Trade does for the community in terms of these giveaways, while also obviously helping people score face value tickets. So let's jump into that interview right now.
How many stages are going to be set up? This lineup is just out of this world.
Yeah, we have two main stages, and then we have the 10th stage, which we're showcasing national, regional, and local talent on that stage. But then we have the permanent main stage of Legend Valley, which is this incredible, massive structure. I believe it's the biggest amphitheater in Ohio, technically. And then secondly, we have this big Saddleback, tent structure, kind of looks like a Sydney Opera House, as the second stage, main stage B, and then the local, regional, and national state bands are playing on the 10th stage.
That's kick ass. Now, one of the incredible aspects of a festival is those impromptu jams, those never before and never again moments. Has Workout been a place where a lot of that has happened over the past 10 years?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of our biggest things being a quote-unquote jam band festival is the collaborations. We always have and encourage acts to collaborate with one another and sit in. And we always try to make it a unique experience with whoever's in the lineup, you know, sitting in and making it special. And that's why, you know, we did it in 2014 with Dark Side of the Moon. We did with Papadosi and Dopapod in The Works. This year we're doing, at the 10-year anniversary, that was the fifth year, this year we're doing Pink Floyd's The Wall with Papadosi and Dopapod in The Works. So that's something you don't really see many places.
And, no.
It's a really special set. You know, and also the Queen tribute, we have members of Turquoise, The Motet, Papadosi, Dopapod in The Works, all collabing on this tribute to Queen. We Are the Champions tribute to Queen. I think that's going to be a really special set. You're not going to see all those bands collaborating on that ever.
Ever again.
And then we also got the Big Damn Jam, Norman's Big Damn Jam, which is a tribute to our old keyboardist, Norman Dimitrileas, who passed away, the old Works keyboardist. And that's going to be a really awesome collab. We got Johnny Neal from the Allman Brothers and a bunch of really good players sitting in for that. Yeah, it's gonna be a really nice tribute and jam session. So, you know, on top of that, we got the other thing that's really special this year is the Transcendent which is 4/6 string cheese instrument doing basically an electronic dance set. It's kind of like the Lotus, Pete Yodo type of vibe.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, a lot of special sets this year.
Yeah, I mean, it goes well into the wee hours of the morning, I imagine. I mean, you can't have all of this without a, man, that's incredible. I had Kyle Hollingsworth was on the podcast a couple of, maybe 2 months ago or so, and, what an unbelievable person he is. And I'm just happy to, even know him, and, just a chill dude, and the stuff they're doing is fantastic. I love how they can kind of do these one-off moments, you know, and it's that's what our scene is all about, it seems. It's just like these moments that are, enjoy it while it's here, because you never know if it's going to happen again, and it's these hybrid mixes, and it's really kick-ass that you put this on. Are there any return artists that kind of are staples at the workout? Are there, or do you try to mix it up every year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for some reason we keep booking this band called The Works. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. Get over it.
But, no. we'll keep booking them. No, but for... we do book a lot of acts. You know, we typically always have Twiddle and Dopapod. And Dopapod, by the way, is one of their only festival plays in the summertime. So we're excited to have them.
Yeah.
And Twiddle, of course, two nights. They're usually there one or two nights every year. And then Papadocio has always been heavily involved with the workout since the first year. So, you know, they're usually there every other year. And Yodo is typically there every other year as well. Because Papadocio and Yodo were there for year one. And have been on the lineup pretty much every year for the most part.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that, and if you're considering going to the Workout Festival, you should. So the next thing we're going to listen to a snippet of a conversation that happened during the Fish Run at Mohegan Sun earlier this month. So Mike Fenoya from Amigos and Dawn from Female Centrics hosted a live event, Battle of the Podcast, Clash of the Podcast. They didn't actually fight, but they had special guests, including Benji Eisen, David Steinberg, and Tom Marshall. We're going to play a snippet of their conversation from the live event where they talk about the Fish Tour so far, song selection, and how a lot of these new songs affect the Fish Tour. So we hope you enjoy. And of course, there's a link to the full episode in the show notes as well. So let's jump into that snippet now.
It's neat that I think that Ghost of the Forest, having Trey play start to finish the same set night after night after night, maybe changed his perspective. Last night I was watching him. He has a list of songs in front of him. This is not news, but no one else does.
Yeah.
So he's literally, like, you could tell when his mind's like, what's next? Like, you now visually see him go and, like, kind of peer over.
But I would rather hear a very fresh Ruby Waves that goes type 2.
Yep.
Every few nights for the summer, every four nights, then hear them go and play a song and destroy it in a bad way because they haven't brushed
played
up
it
on
forever.
It.
Yeah, you know, like, no, I hear you.
Ruby Waves is fresh in their minds, and they can do type 2, and they can make it different every time. Versus going back and doing a McGrupp that they completely butcher, you know, I'd rather the Ruby Waves.
Is that so what you're calling
how
tonight?
Do you feel
I do love McGrupp. That was a bad example because I do love McGrupp.
So we have the unofficial Fish statistician on stage, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Steinberg, also known as Physics, and he would know the rate of repeats and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling
surprised.
It up right
I'm
now.
Surprised he's pulling it out. I thought he had it in his
God, I hope people are taking pictures of this.
Compared to last year, which they're playing more distinct songs than they have last year's summer, but they also are playing more songs in 4 and 5 show rotations.
Yes.
So they're having a stronger, or if you prefer, more boring, if you're that way, core of songs, but they're also playing more things just for one time.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, depending on how you want to decide it, that's more or less fewer repeats.
Well, and we got that Mango song. They still haven't played Sloth.
I'm glad you cleared that up because tonight, I have Sloth. No idea what you said.
I know what he said.
And they've been doing a really great job of cutting out the bullshit and going straight to, even if not type two, if you listen to the song, like, First Night Bonnaroo, the Friday night's a great example. It was a very standard set on paper. Standard, it was all hitters, it was all bangers. You know, but stuff that we probably aren't that excited about because we've seen a million times, and it's what we call the Saturday night special, or the festival set. They still found, Trey in particular, found extra notes in there.
Yep.
You know, so it didn't matter what they were doing, he was just bubbling over with notes. And with the repeats, I feel like, even if it doesn't go type two, every version has been unique and every version has been with intent.
Absolutely.
Do you think Bonnaroo is trying to win over new fans? You know,
right?
Trey like plays to non-fish crowds.
Yes.
He senses like the other people in the room.
And it worked. You know, for years I had the theory that I get why when you do a festival set, I totally get it. You know, we all have to. You're in front of 80,000 people. And you're like, okay, they're not going to really get it if I do a Union Federal right now. You know, I'm going to lose. I'm going to have a few fans that are like, this was the greatest thing ever, but I'm going to have 70,000 people walk out on me. Right? So you have to mitigate that, and you have to please everybody.
But in the balance,
yeah, what 99.9% of fans that are at concerts don't realize is the performance element of this thing, you know? Like, you're going to go out and you want to do your best, and you're standing there watching other artists perform. Like Trey stood side stage and watched Cardi B and all these others. That's contagious.
I
you want to go out, you want to rise to the occasion.
I hope he was taking notes of Cardi B, by the way. But the thing is that, like, I get it in that from a band perspective, when you're on stage, you're kind of scared of losing that audience. So you want to play the samples in a jar and you want to play like that. But on the other hand, if they trusted a little bit, the reason why we all got into Fish was not because they did those. Like,
right.
it's hearing that first time that they really blow something out and knowing that it's a type 2 jam, or hearing like an Iculus or something like that. It will lose some people, but it will make fans for life out of others.
Yeah, totally. And like in there, they throw the first ever mics into Fluffhead, right? So whoever, like, they're not, it's not like they're not doing things for the first time. Please don't have it to me no more. Please don't tell me the casino's gone. What's the play? Head back to Singapore. Tom, so Camden Night 3, the sound check, Three Little Birds, Pebbles and Marbles, Tila, Forbins, Mockingbird, Mango, Most Events Aren't Planned, Driver, and Sleep. Do you ever go in and wait? Do you go in and check out the sound checks?
Yeah, when I can. For that one, I was like out in the lot partying with people and just listening crystal clear to the sound check. It was amazing.
Yeah, Camden's weirdly perfect.
Sometimes you get really good sound out there in the lot, sometimes not so much.
Yeah, it was bouncing off all of the homeless shelters perfectly. That whole city reminds me of like a deleted level of Tony Hawk. Like you just like grind off everything and it's such a dump. But it's beautiful in its own shitty way. That show I've gone back and listened to, I think, the most. That was one that, like, when you and I have talked, it's you love that show.
I think so, yeah. And then a personal reason, my daughter was there, and Pebbles and Marbles is about her.
Mm.
It was the first time after, because she was on my podcast, Under the Scales, talking about
it. On the Osiris Network.
And then Trey knew that she was there and played it, and I'm suspecting for
us. Wow.
I like to think that.
Yeah.
So bring that was bring like, it on more shows, because I want to hear that more often.
Yeah, right?
Believe can you tell Trey that your daughter wants to hear Forbins?
Yeah, right?
You like it. My daughter's favorite song is Help Slip Forbins. Well, please don't have it to me no more. Please don't tell me the casino's gone. What's the play? Head back to Singapore. Out of all the new tunes, Tom, Ghost of the Forest, Kasvot, I like to ask all our guests, what are any your favorites right now? Any of the what new stuff is like really are you getting jazzed to hear once it starts?
Well, like with the huge influx of Kasvot and now the Ghosts stuff, to me, I mean, the Santos stuff, that's funny, like that, you know, it's good. Everyone dances, everyone sings, but one song of the whole, are there 20, however many new songs there are, one song rises like head and shoulders above, and that's about to run.
Yes!
I'm with you.
That Fenway.
God damn it, I love that,
that
song.
Fenway.
Love that song.
Yeah,
Surfer
yeah,
for
yeah.
Fish.
Fenway. Dirty, dirty Trey Fish. Well, grinding gears.
I mean, that just right. sounds like Fillmore East, Jimi Hendrix, 1970, just like shredding, awesome guitar.
It lets him stretch, and it's like, it's cool, everything about it.
It's so
awesome.
Great.
And Fishman is just all over it.
Yeah.
So my theory is that with Ghost of the Forest, I saw actually one with Tom, and I saw the night before, the two groups. And I loved it as a thing by itself, right? I thought it was great. Anybody that's lost somebody near and dear to them can relate to it on a whole different level. I thought it was an amazing experience that I didn't want to carry over into Fish. However, I wanted those songs to. But I had a split in my thinking. Like, I liked Ghost of the Forest as an experience, almost like it's a narrative arc. It's you know, like going to the cinema or reading a book or something like that. Art that really affects you based off of life experiences, in this case, death. Uh-huh. And morning. However, afterwards, I think it was actually the second Greek where I started hearing in the Psalms germations of what could become, like Ruby Waves is a great example. The second I heard Ruby
the
Waves,
best example.
I love that one.
It was like when Fish
gets.
Yeah, it was like when yeah, exactly.
And it's breathing right now.
Yep, and it was like when fish gets a hold. When Fish gets a hold.
I love that. I love that.
It's the best example.
Yeah, yeah. It was when Fish gets a hold of these songs, and a lot of my closest Fish friends, some of whom I'm here with today.
Thank you.
They weren't sold on Ghost of the Forest, right? And I kept telling them, wait till Fish gets their hands on them, and wait till you give it. And Mercury, when Mercury came out, and I was a Mercury fan from, I heard them play 4 or 5 times at Soundcheck before playing it at Bend, and I loved it instantly. A lot of people, it took a minute.
It took me a little bit.
And if you go back and listen, if you go back and listen to Mercury, it took them a year before they figured out where it's landed. And that's my hope for Drift While You're Sleeping. I think that right now,
so good.
It's I'm a huge fan of that song. It's going to take some selling. And in order to sell it, they need to get into it and do, but they will. They did that with Ruby Scales. Wider last night was a great demo. And when they really do Wider, it could be woven in and out of a set. About to Run could become like the next, I saw it again.
Yeah, the next machine.
In and out, you know, and Still Waiting, it's one of those things. And
I love Death Don't Come, Death,
But that's Cast About Vots, but
I love that.
Because
it was
so
totally different. We were talking about that, Beneath the Sea of Stars. We were talking about it back there, how it's like, there are people who were kind of like, oh man, this is long, and then 10 minutes in, they're like,
this is unbelievable. They probably did Waves when Waves first came out then, because it's, you know, like, every single time that Fish does something, there's an incubation period. And 20 years later, you know, there's an incubation period where people aren't sold for whatever reason, and it's because they haven't had an it moment with that yet.
Yep.
And last night with the Sea of the Stars, a portal opened up, and if you didn't step through it, well, then that's on you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right on. Very good.
Yeah,
definitely. Camden was great, too. Yeah, we got the Oracle right there.
The Oracle.
But Trey introduced you one night.
Hold on. David, what's the first Fish song that I wrote?
On the 20th anniversary run, it was Maka Super. Yeah. It was the 60s song that you wrote back in the 60s.
And what kind of underwear was I wearing?
None.
Oh. So then Trey was
Superman,
wrong.
Of course.
Checked out.
So, Trey was wrong because he was singing the first lyrics that he ever wrote for a Fish.
Yeah, he said that on New Year's '93. That was the first tape.
My very first show where I had no idea who you were.
So there's some truth to that too, depending on how you slice it. Definitely
alternate,
that song, Maki Supa, was written earliest of all these songs.
Yeah. Right.
Before there was any Fish. That song was written.
Even before Wilson?
So when they were Fish.
Because Wilson was in eighth grade, right?
Anything. But the first time that I think Trey had the concept of Fish came home because he did something bad at University of Vermont, and I did something bad at Carnegie Mellon, and both of our dads put us in Mercer County Community College.
Right.
And right then, Trey had the seeds of Antelope, Slave, Letter to Jimmy Page, dinner and a movie, just tons of songs, and he needed to get them down. Mm. And we bumped into each other, and he said, "Hey, Tom, do you want to help me build a recording studio in my dad's basement?" And there's only one answer to that. And so he turned around. I'd gone to class like a good boy. He turned around on his way to class, and that was it. He never went back to
that was
college.
It.
Yeah, well, that college.
He was
anyway.
Busy mailing letters to Jimmy Page.
So, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And so I was sitting there doing like keyboards for Slave and stuff like that, even though I didn't have a hand in writing. He just had all this music that needed to spill out. And so I pressed play, record, sometimes, you know, played a couple keys. And then one time he just, like in Antelope, he just shoved a mic in front of my face and chemically enhanced, I believe, I just said those words. And so now I have a songwriting credit on that.
That's incredible.
Same thing happened in Slave. It's like, seen the city, seen the zoo, traffic light won't let me through.
Ow, ow.
I wrote that.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you for writing it, Tom.
Right?
Thank
yeah, exactly.
And here we are now.
That's my you know, song.
Speaking of songs that you guys co-authored, there's one about the casino that you recently tweeted about.
Hotbox.
Yeah.
I didn't know you tweeted about that, but I didn't know you tweeted about that, but I have to say, Tom, I actually was going to text you about this 2 weeks ago. I didn't know you tweeted about it, but that is one of my favorite songs that you and Trey did. And I listened.
When was that written?
I listened to it all the time on SoundCloud.
Let me see if I have it. I can play it.
By all the time, I mean whenever I'm about to go lose a lot of money in a casino.
You have it.
Is when I listen to it. It's my champion song, like a sports like. So I get whenever I go to the casino, that's what I listen to.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, that's a song
that tiger.
I very much want to be part of, like maybe some kind of jam. All of a sudden, it could appear.
Yeah.
When did you write that?
Yeah.
Someone said in the middle of a Cross-Eyed and Painless, all of a sudden it turns into a Hotbox and then goes back. Something like that.
Wow.
That'd be cool.
Can you remind?
I mean, that's
that'd be cool. I might have to remind him. I remind him every casino, or he reminds me.
Really?
Yeah.
He's playing. Yeah, it's
I love it.
When was that written?
Such a good tune, man. And I could also see Fishman just having awesome time just improv and bullshit over this.
It was a lot of fun. Casino Fishman's life.
It's a very dancey beat. It's like Trey just like channeling Michael Jackson there.
Yeah. If there's one thing this tour needs, it's another debut. There's hardly been any.
Hotbox would be the debut for tonight, for sure.
I think they're going to open up with Mike's song tonight.
Is that one, Tom, that you guys wrote,
that's what I think.
That you guys wrote together? Or was that one? Because you guys do like, that's the thing that I think is very interesting about like what we've talked about. Sometimes you email, sometimes you phone write together. Sometimes you go lock yourself in a cabin somewhere. Sometimes you go on vacation. Like that one in particular, was that one that you wrote together?
Yep, we were together. That was a writing session. I can't remember the exact date or location at the moment, but we had written another bunch of songs that became Fish songs. That one was just kind of like a throwaway. And I asked Trey, could I put it up on SoundCloud? And it immediately like tore apart my SoundCloud. Like everyone loved it, and it went rippled through the audience. Like, oh, this is the new direction Fish is going.
Not so much. Casino funk.
It's one of three. It's one of three songs I use SoundCloud for.
All right. So if you want to hear more about that conversation, click on the show notes. So that's it. We're just going to bring you some snippets every week and try to keep you up to date on what's going on with the Osiris Network. And take the audience survey if you haven't yet, because we want your feedback, and we also want you to win a cool poster. So we'll be back again next week. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Drop. Keep the feedback and thoughts and suggestions coming. We'll talk to y'all soon.